The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, we are in our third week of a series called Being Blessed, Becoming a Blessing. And as the title implies, one must precede the other. If we're not blessed, it's hard for us to bless other people. We need to be blessed in order to become a blessing. Now, is this a biblical concept, blessing? Yes, of course. Go back to Genesis 12 and the original blessing. God blessed Abram and he said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing to the nations. It's by design that the blessing is part of the scheme, that we are going to be blessed, experience the blessings of God, and communicate it to other people. And Madison, if you'll pull that first verse of Psalm 67 back up. And one of the things that some translations leave out is that so that your ways, there's a reason, may God be gracious to us and bless us, that is something that we experience, and so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations, that through us being blessed, other people are blessed. That's the way that it's meant to work. But sometimes we're unable to do that. Why? Because sometimes we miss the blessing in our family of origin. Somehow it's just beyond reach and we can't experience it when we're young. And if we don't do that, then it's very difficult to communicate a blessing to other people when we're older. And I use my Disney marathon, my first marathon ever, to communicate that. To me, it's a great metaphor for appreciating how things can go wrong if you don't take in what you need in the first half of the race that you're running. You know, Paul says that we ought to run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Well, I ran that marathon in 2009, trained for it in Birmingham, trained well. I had a desire to do it in under 4 hours. I was going to run it with my friend Richard Dunlap. And that's how I got into it. Ego is a bad thing. He invited me and I couldn't say no. That's a story for another day. I trained for the marathon. We make our way down there. Get up that morning. Have some coffee, a banana, a little bit of water. Meet Richard at the start. The gun goes off and we're off and running. Now, Richard's 10 years younger and in better shape. But that wasn't going to keep me from keeping up with him. No, ego again. Story for another day. But we're running. Heat up. Throw off our sweatshirts at like mile 4. About mile 9, I took my first sip of water. Then we run through the Magic Kingdom. Come out the other side. Things are going great. We're about to hit the halfway mark. 13.1 miles. And that's when I took in some Gatorade and a banana. And realized that the wheels were coming off. At mile 14, I said bye to Richard, never saw him again. That's because he was running, I wasn't. I didn't take in the nutrition that I needed in the first half of the race to finish it. I was already dehydrated, depleted. There was no way I could take in enough in the second half in order to make it end well. Well, I did finish, and largely because about mile 17, I saw this child run out of the crowd and into his mom's arms. And I went, you know, there are people waiting for me at the finish line. I'm going to get there somehow, some way. I limped home. And I did finish the race in under 5 hours by about 2 minutes. It was a miserable failure. Rookie mistakes abound. But it points out the need to take in the first half everything that you need to finish the second half. And sometimes we can't do that. And last week we talked about why that's the case. Sometimes we're raised in families where we just can't experience the blessing. Some of the cases are obvious. In cases of divorce or death or desertion, even adoption, it's like very obvious that it'd be difficult to get the blessing of both a father and mother because one's absent from the home. It can easily end up that way, that even if we're blessed by our mom, we don't get our dad's blessing. Or even if we're blessed by our dad, we don't get our mom's blessing because we're not exposed to it, because they're simply not there. Sometimes for reasons that they can't control. Some of us have parents who died early. But there are other environments in which we can end up without the blessing. Sometimes families have these unyielding family traditions that we're meant to live into, and when we don't, they withdraw their blessings from us. Like Trent and Smalley in the book, The Blessing, talk about a pastor, and his brother was a pastor, his father was a pastor, his grandfather was a pastor. He was meant to be a pastor. He went to a Christian school, was a great guy, was dating a Christian girl, decided not to go into the ministry, instead into marketing, and his father disowned him. Kicked him out of the house because he chose his own way. Wouldn't embrace his wife, wouldn't embrace their children. I mean, cruel. But it was because he had this idea of what his son was supposed to be rather than letting his son discern that for himself. And because of it, he didn't get the blessing. And because of it, there's a divided family. And that pastor finds it difficult at times to pass that blessing on to his kids because it's been withheld from him. That's how it works. Sometimes there's a curse is exchanged for the blessing. Sometimes it appears as if we're really close to our parents, and yet what they're really communicating to you is my happiness is tied up in you doing exactly what I want you to do. And if you don't do it, then I don't love you. And so it's conditional. All of a sudden, if our kids aren't making us happy, then they aren't feeling love because we're not loving them. And so what appears to be a blessing, being close to our family, can sometimes be a curse. There's a burden that's given instead of a blessing. There are homes where more difficult things happen, obviously, where there's abuse, physical, verbal, sometimes sexual, and because of that, we're traumatized at an early age and are unable to experience the unconditional love of our parents, which we're meant to have. That's what God communicated to us in the beginning. That's what he's going to communicate to us again in Jesus Christ. We're meant to have that, but sometimes we don't experience it because our family can't communicate it to us. And sometimes it's for other reasons. Sometimes there's someone that we should be able to trust to communicate a blessing to us. A coach or a teacher violates that trust and prevents us from getting that blessing in our lives. And because we're incomplete. And we talked about how that can be debilitating to think about. Like, I missed a blessing, and how can I get it back? I mean, we can't go back in time. And yet I want to be a blessing to my children. I want to be a blessing to my spouse, my husband, or my wife. I want to bless the people around me. How can I bless well if I haven't been blessed? And that's where what we want to talk about this morning. And not for very long, but just to think about ways in which we can receive that love of God that we were meant to get through our family of origin in a way that will allow us to be a blessing to other people, to move beyond where we are. Now, I want to say, and I've talked to several of you about this, which is great. There are going to be people in this room that have been so blessed by their families. And I want to read what that's like. See if I can find that story quickly, because it impacted several people when I read it last week about a man named Bubs Roussel. I think I can do it off the top of my head, but I actually wanted to read the letter. If I can put my hands on it. Maybe not. All right. So I'll paraphrase. But Bubs Roussel was a young man. I think he was 21. It was December 13, 1944. And he was one of 18 B-29s that set off on a mission that morning in World War II. And he was also on one of four planes that never returned. So all the members of the Air Force that were died on those planes were killed in action, received a flag from the Department of Defense, and received a star and some words commemorating their contribution to the war. But Bubs Roussel's parents received something else. 30 days later, they received a letter in the mail, to their surprise, from him. And he had asked he had left a letter on his bed back in the barracks and asked that it be sent to his parents if anything happened to him. And in that letter, he said to them, "Hey, I just want to write you folks and tell you what wonderful parents you are. I could not have been loved more. And it's made all the difference. And I've done to the best of my ability to love you with all of who I am. And by the way, what I'm going through has been not so hard because of the contribution that you've made to my life, because I knew you had my back in good times and in bad, and it made all the difference. It's made me able to face what it is that we're going through with conviction and courage. That's what Bubs Roussel wrote to his parents. That's the presence of a blessing when we're young. And it's a difficult thing to ask, but can we say that about our parents? Could we write that letter about them? Or if we're raising children, could our children write that letter about us? And for some of us, we can. Some said last week, oh yeah, we're so blessed that we could imagine writing that letter. But for some of us, we know there's something that's amiss, something that just wasn't quite right. We didn't get all the blessing. Some of us didn't get any of the blessing, but most of us probably got part of the blessing when we were young, but not all of it. And it makes it struggle through life, kind of limp like I did through that last half of the marathon without what I needed to get through. We struggle making relationships work for a long period of time. We find that we're have a chip on our shoulder. And there are lots of ways in which we might be impacted by the absence of blessing. But what I want to say is that if we can't write that letter, if we can't imagine writing that letter to our parents as Bubs Roussel did, ultimately God can heal us in a way that we can. Because what we missed when we were young, He can give to us even in our later in life, in our older age, if you will. And that's what we want to talk about just briefly this morning. How can we do that? How can we experience what it is that God wants for us and meant for us to have in our family of origin? And if we can't have it from them, how can we have it from Him? Well, one of the things that we have to do is to admit where we are. Be truthful with ourselves. You know, Jesus says in John 8 that the truth sets us free. So are we willing to come to grips with the truth? Are we willing to say, yeah, this, if someone says, how's that working for you? And you go, not so well. Now, I live in a culture that says, that's really not what people want to hear. They'd rather hear, oh, life's grand, life's great. I'm not facing any challenges in life. But if we want to be honest, we have to admit to ourselves that we're struggling. Just like this pastor was trying to figure out why he was struggling with passing on the blessing to his children that I spoke about earlier. Think about it. Everybody else could see it for obviously. I mean, it was just there for anyone else to see, but he couldn't see it. That he had been rejected by his dad, that he couldn't live into the demands that his dad put upon his life. And that didn't start when he was older. That had always been there. And so it was obvious to anyone else that looked, but he couldn't see it. And sometimes we have to figure out how to be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we have to ask other people, what do you see? What do you see in my life that God wants to heal? And those are hard questions to ask because we'd rather not hear it. I mean, 99% of the time, I think I'm perfect. Now, Kristen, she said, 50-50, I don't know. You know, I mean, that's real life. I mean, we're not perfect. But we have to be honest about where we are, that we might have missed out on something when we were young. The other thing that, the next thing that we need to do is we need to seek to understand our parents if they couldn't give us the blessing. And why is that necessary? Well, one of the things that Trent and Smalley point out is that when you're trying to recover the blessing from God, you don't want to spend any time blaming your parents. And sometimes parents are at default. Sometimes parents are cruel. Hopefully those cases are few and far between. But in the end, still, we have to figure out how to honor our parents. Why? Because it's a commandment. In fact, it's the only commandment with a statement after it. That is, we have to honor our father and mother if we want things to go well in our life. In the absence of honoring them, it won't. And so when we search through these things, it's not about blaming our parents for the absence that we have. In fact, we want to figure out how to honor them. And sometimes it means hearing their stories and empathizing with their lives, what they've been through. Trent and Smalley tell the story of a woman that really struggled because she never felt close to her dad, and she was always trying to come up beside him and be loved by him. And she went into counseling and talked to these guys, and they said, well, you missed out on a blessing when you were young. And she found the strength to admit that and to go back and talk to her dad about it. Now, she's probably in her 30s. Her dad is obviously aging. And she tells him the story, not in an accusatory way, but just wants to talk to him about what she feels like was missing in her life. And what he does is he tells her, her the story of his childhood. He was raised in England with Great British Reserve. Words of affirmation were never used in his family. Physical touch, no one ever embraced, hugged, kissed, nurtured anyone in their family. Meaningful to me, if you've never seen the movie The King's Speech, it's really a story about being raised just like that, and that's why he stuttered, because he wasn't blessed by his family. He was raised by nannies, and they weren't even good to him all the time. It's a powerful thing. But in this story, the woman said, I get it. I understand what my father went through. Well, if he doesn't know what it means to be nurtured, how could he know how to nurture me? So sometimes we want to find that empathy to appreciate who our parents are. And if there are things that we have to forgive, to find the strength to do that, to when we've actually been done wrong, when we've been abused or abandoned, that we forgive so in such a way that we can move on. Because it's only in doing that that we can be healed in such a way that we can receive what it is that God wants for us. And that's the thing, to know that there is victory possible out of the void that we've experienced. So if we come to grips with who we are, if we seek to understand our parents better and why they might not have been able to communicate the blessing to us, then we can move on and say that, you know, God does bring wonderful things out of ashes. God does have the power to turn a curse into a blessing. And he wants us to know that. And what does he want us to know? First and foremost, the thing that caused him to bring us into being in the beginning, that he communicates again and again in Jesus Christ, is that you are loved. Unconditionally, you are loved. I know y'all might grow weary of hearing me say it. Mostly I say it to remind myself about the way he feels about me, but the way I want to feel about my wife and my children is that there's not anything that they can do to make me love them more, and there's not anything that they can do to make me love them less. On a perfect day, that's what love is like. It doesn't change. It shifts not with the wind. It can't be blown. It can't be challenged. It's just there, always present for our kids, for our spouse. That's the way God loves us. It doesn't change, not even with our sin and our rebellion. Oh, he hates our sin and our rebellion, but he loves us in the midst of it. He never forsakes us. He never turns his back on us. When we've run far from him, if we ever open our eyes and turn around, we'll see a loving God with his arms wide open, welcoming home the prodigal. That's the kind of love that he wants us to experience. That's the blessing that we were meant to get from our family of origin. And if we can't get it from them, we can be reminded that we have it in him, in Jesus. We are loved. We are loved. Lastly, we can embrace the way he loves us through his family, the church, this body of Christ that's gathered, the way in which we can minister to each other and actually bless each other in the ways that is evident throughout the scriptures, speaking high value over each other, encouraging each other with the future that God has before us, laying hands upon each other and embracing each other in a way that builds people up. Those things can be experienced through the body of Christ. If we missed them when we were young, we can experience them now. Trent and Smalley tell this cute story of a father and a daughter. She wakes up in the middle of the night. She's scared, and he goes up to comfort her and get her to go back to sleep. He said, "Now you don't need to be afraid. Our house is safe, and God will protect you." And she said, "Yeah, that's all well and good, but I need a God with skin on." She needed somebody to embrace her, not someone to think about, but someone who was there beside her. And that's what the body of Christ can be. That's what the church can be. God with skin on. We're his hands and feet, and we can care for each other when we draw together in community and appreciate each other's hurts and celebrate each other's joys. And that's how the blessing is recovered. Through first admitting where we are, trying to find some empathy for the people that may have left us in this situation, but then going on to remember that God can turn curses into blessings, that He does heal, that He does love us, and that we can experience that same love through each other. In the weeks ahead, we'll talk about blessing. If we're figuring out how to be healed and how to be blessed, then we can figure out how to become a blessing to other people, how to communicate that to others so that they know with confidence that they are loved, that they grow up in a world where it's never doubted in their minds. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to invite Sean Allen to come up and say a word in response to the blessing. He didn't really prepare a lot. He just Sean and Terry are great friends. Years ago, I was blessed to be their pastor. Sean and Terry have 11 children. We used to call them the pew family because they took up a pew. It's quite comical to watch them come in. And why, even watching their discipline habits, if any one of the children down the row was ever even fidgeting, Terry would simply lean out and turn her head this way and everyone snapped to attention. The threat was always that if she couldn't get them back in line, that Dad was going to address the situation. None of the Allens wanted that. But they have devoted their lives, and I mean in no way to suggest in a perfect way. They're keenly aware of their challenges in raising these kids. But they have been determined throughout their lives to raise them with a blessing so that they know that they're loved, so that they have what they need in the first half of life to finish the race well. Just one quick story about my admiration for their whole family, or two quick stories before Sean comes up. One would be on 9/11, 2001, just days after that horrible thing occurred. Bob McNaughton, one of Sean's best friends, one of my best friends, and Sean show up in church. And if you didn't know, 1st Air Force in Panama City was responsible for providing the caps that flew over all the cities in America, making sure that there were pilots and planes there to keep the country safe. And I just remember giving them communion and looking into their eyes and seeing weariness beyond anything you can imagine. They'd been up for days straight without any relief, but was just awed by their commitment and what they did to keep this country safe. And there was still risk, great risk, going on even the days that followed that many of us didn't know about. And they labored for weeks and weeks and weeks. It seems like it was a couple of months before there was ever a break, even a normal dinner and an ability to relax in their homes because of the stress that was put on them by that situation. And the other is more comical is to going to the Allens for dinner. It's cheaper by the dozen. It's that on steroids. It's so funny to watch all of them live into their chores to make sure the table's set. So if you can imagine having 11 kids, two adults, and then inviting another 5 or 10 people over for dinner, they did it routinely, and they did it well. You were always the center of their attention. You never had to do anything. You weren't allowed to do anything. You didn't fill glasses with ice. That was already done. Ruth can probably attest to that. She knows how the system works. But they were a well-greased machine when it came to hospitality in their homes. So I'm going to invite Sean to come up and just maybe reflect on what he's heard about the blessing.
I appreciate it, John. You know, John told a little story about the little girl wanted the person of God with skin on. I said it's kind of funny because in our house, you know, it goes, Abby, if you get out of bed again, the little clown hiding underneath your bed is going to grab you. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But she still gets up and comes and gets hairy at night. She don't want me to. So it all works. It works out well. But John was talking to me about talking about blessings and being blessed and everything. And you know, it's funny that he said it because it's one of the things that I've been reading through in my Bible is on blessings. And you don't have to read far where it talks about blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. And it continues just all these different places where it says we are blessed by God. And, you know, when I was looking in the notes in my Bible and it said that to be blessed is to esteem others' needs as greater than your own. And that's talking to us as when we're blessed, someone has esteemed our needs as greater than their own. And in kind, we're expected to esteem others' needs as greater than our own. And that's how we become a blessing to people. And for us to be a blessing to people, I just kind of, this old Air Force thing, got three things I thought about. Well, first off, you have to understand how blessed you are. And it says, blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Well, when you get up in the morning, you really feel like you're blessed. Do you feel you're blessed to even be able to breathe? I mean, we're not even thinking about breathing, but we're doing it. And we do it regularly throughout the day. Do you feel blessed that the sun's out and the birds are singing? And, you know, it may sound very simplistic, but these are all blessings that God has thrown our way to just kind of cheer our day up and make us better. Do you feel blessed that, you know, that you've got family, that you've got a spouse that cares for you, provides in whatever the contract is within the family as far as maintaining a household or taking care of making sure the household is supported? You know, these are just simple things that we need to look at and go, man, God really does love me, and what am I doing to show that to others? Showing that to others may be as easy as, hey, I love you, thank you. Man, I'm so fortunate that we're together, or you're one of the best kids around, or you know, I'm blessed to have a child like you. I know regularly I mess up, you know. I'm the guy that for years would come home and the boys would cut the lawn because they knew I didn't want to do it, and I'd come home and what did I say? Hey, you forgot to blow the driveway, you know. Terry would remind me, did you see that cut the grass? Did you see how good it looks? And I'd be like, yeah. You know, but I blew it. I had an opportunity to bless them and say, hey, guys, you did a great job. Thank you for doing that for me today. And I missed the opportunity. But there's another thing that says is, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. Well, that tells us we're going to mess up, you know. And believe me, I could probably be the king of mess up at times. But the other lesson that I learned is that God is a very forgiving God. And, you know, it's cool the way God says, you know, I've given you an example to follow. Okay? So, you know, once again, he forgives us. And in the same way he forgives us, then A, we need to forgive others. But B, when we mess up, we need to ask forgiveness. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with telling your kids, hey, I messed up. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, do you forgive me? If they're little, get on your knees and look them in the eyes and let them know. You know? And it's great because when they say, I forgive you, Daddy, yeah, I mean, give them a hug. Let them know you love them. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, the fact that you messed up, that you asked for forgiveness, and then you made up, could be a bigger blessing than maybe saying, hey, good job on the lawn as you blow through the house, you know? So there's opportunities. I'm not saying mess up so you can make up, but, you know, there's opportunities. God presents us with time and time again to receive a blessing from our family and give a blessing to our family. You know, one of the other things that John and I were talking about yesterday, and I know he wanted me to mention, is, you know, what are the things you do that are special times, you know, that you do with your kids? And that's one thing we've always tried to do. We try to make a big deal out of our kids' birthdays. You know, we go to breakfast, have a special tradition that we do. We have our own silly, goofy traditions around Christmas and Thanksgiving and things we do. But you know what? Our kids know we're going to do it. And we have done it with our boys. We have seven sons. When they turned teenagers, they turned 13, we tried to make sure that I made a big deal out of a ceremony to recognize that they're entering into the teenage years, that they're getting ready to enter into adulthood, they're graduating from high school. Something that esteems them as an accomplishment they've done and encourages them. But Terry's, my attitude has always been, though, and we tell our kids, you know, what do we want for you guys and from you guys? We want you guys to love the Lord, We want you guys to get plugged into a church where you can grow in the Lord. And we don't care what the denomination is. We're not hung up on it. We want you to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That's what's important. And we want you to find, you know, for God to present you with a suitable helper who is going to love you, and that you're going to love, and that if that's your plan to have a family, that you're going to have a great family, you know, and know that we're there for you. Okay? And that's what we want for our kids. But most important is we want that strong spiritual foundation. Because I think if we're doing, we're letting our kids know who God is by how we live. We're acknowledging God by the blessings that we receive. You know, it talks in Deuteronomy about, talk about these things as you walk. You know, talk to your children, teach them about who I am. If we're doing that, sharing the blessings of God, if we're offering forgiveness and asking for it when we need it, then that's what's going to turn everything around when you look around this crazy world right now. My third point was, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And, you know, you can't expect a nation to turn back to God if the people who know God aren't living like they know God. And so, yeah, it may sound oversimplistic, but if we're not living it in our homes, recognizing it every day, and blessing those around us in every way we can, then we don't turn it around. And I just end with this quick little story of my own. We were just overseeing my one son who's in the Coast Guard in New Orleans, and we were walking along, and it's just me. I don't care if I know people or not. When I'm walking down the street, it drives me crazy that we've turned into a society where people go out of their way not to make eye contact. You know, I mean, it really is. It has become an art form, you know, the old, you know, all these different things to make sure we don't do eye contact. So I go out of my way to make sure that I look at somebody and I greet them and I say, good morning, or how are you today, or how's it going? And I greet them in some form or fashion. And my son Michael at one point says, as we're walking around New Orleans looking around, he says, Dad, what are you, the welcoming committee? I mean, you say hi to everybody you come across. I mean, what's up with that, you know? And I said, dude, how hard is that? You know, the fact that I acknowledge their significance and importance as a human being may make all the difference in their day. And the fact that I say a kind word to them may mean that they say a kind word to somebody else. And I never know what the overall impact of that's going to be. But I want them to know that they're important. Now, it may seem oversimple, but I would hope that if I'm living like someone that knows God and trying to show people what love and a blessing is in just a small form, that that's eventually going to cause a ripple in the pond that causes a tsunami on the other side. Okay? So.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.
Just close with one last story. Yesterday, Sean called home once they arrived. Their youngest son, Noah, is the only one that's still at home. Noah's a stocky young guy, well-built, linebacker type. And he just communicates to him at the very end, I love you more than you could know. And I'm listening to this phone call, and just caused a tear to well up in my eye to hear him communicate that to his son. Honestly, I wish I had heard it more when I was 16. And if it was said, I'm sorry I missed it. But don't miss an opportunity to communicate to those that you love them. Say it out loud. Don't let flowers be enough. Don't let a card be enough. Use words and speak it to them. It makes all the difference in the world. That's what God's trying to communicate to us in Jesus. That's what we're meant to embrace. That's how we were expected to be loved when we were young. And we can know that love again when we hear it from other people. Amen?
Amen.